Good morning, everybody. Let's pray together at this time. Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you again for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, your enemies, it was then you decided to have your Son come here to earth, be born of a woman, and go to the cross for us, die for our sins, and you raise him from the dead 3 days later so that whoever believes in your Son, Jesus Christ, will not perish but have eternal life. We thank you also, Father, that having made us your children, you have now placed your Spirit inside of us, and you've given us your word in written form. And we just thank you, Father, also that you've provided for us a family, the believers in Christ, the body of Christ. We just ask this morning, Father, for the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit on all that will be going on here, in the singing, the learning, the fellowshipping, the giving. And we just ask also, Father, that you'd continue to open the eyes of our heart to the riches of the glory that you've placed in Christ for us. We ask this in his name by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Good morning again, everybody. Just a couple of announcements before we get started. The first is that we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper next Sunday. That's going to be June 5th, first Sunday of the month. Also, every month we're featuring a different missionary organization, and this month we've been featuring Christ Saves Ministries. Hello, computer. You can wake up now. More than one way to skin a cat. No, this thing is... this computer is not functioning. Anyways, Christ Saves Ministries, and they are in 5 countries, Pakistan, India, Nigeria, Ghana, and Liberia, and have a special announcement this morning relative to missions and also to related to Christ Saves Ministries, and that is that we are going to be serving as the home church for a missionary to Egypt. So her name is Destiny Lerner. I actually knew her back when I was at Grace Bible Church in Massachusetts when she was about 11 years old. And she is now a missionary, and she's going to be in Egypt for 2 years in Cairo. She contacted us a little while ago to see about if we would be willing to be her home base. And we said, certainly we would, and we are going to do that. So that's really exciting. She's going to leave in August. And let's see if this is working now. Nope, it's okay. She's leaving in August, and we're going to be supporting her a little bit financially. She's going to be reporting back to us on a regular basis. We'll make sure you keep you guys informed about everything that is going on there with her. So we're really excited about that. Please keep that in prayer. I do have a picture for... oh, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. Here we go. Oh, I don't know. I have a picture of her. Wait a minute. Just 1 minute. Okay. What can we sing? Amazing Grace. Hey, see, that works. I'll tell you what. Yeah, there she is. That's Destiny. And she's going to be working in Cairo. She's going to be working with young people, but also there's going to be outreach to the Muslim community there. So we're really excited about that. We're going to be, what's that? We're going to be working together with Christ Saves Ministries, because they are also, well, Scott and I got ordained, you know, at Grace Bible Church. We both know Destiny. And there's some things that that Christ Saves Ministries does that will be complementary to what we're going to do. So we're really excited about that. And like I said, we'll be giving you updates as we hear from her and her adventure in Cairo, Egypt. Speaking of adventures and missionary work, Pastor Kingsley is also going on a trip to Liberia. I think I've mentioned that in October. So please keep that in prayer. I also want to welcome our guests this morning. Anybody who's here, we exist here to have people join us. And we're glad that you're here this morning. And we hope that... that you hear something this morning that opens your heart up to who you really are as a believer in Jesus Christ, and that will spark something to for you to find out more. I mean, that's what we're here to do. We're here to preach the Word of God so that people's hearts are touched and that they can want to do what Paul, the apostle, always wanted to do, which is learn more and more about Jesus Christ. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. Also, I want to mention, too, that we are going to be doing a vacation Bible school. And it's going to be July 11th to the 15th. It's for ages 5 to 11. And the theme is going to be on Star Wars. And it's called Star Force, The Faith Awakens. something like that. And so now we're in the recruiting phase where we're looking for young people to enroll. So please keep that in prayer and also encourage any young people that you know to come on in and join us. It's for a week. It's from 9 to noon, July 11th to the 15th. By the way, we will have aftercare available for parents that would need that in the afternoon as well. So we want to pass that along. You know, that means a lot to parents that are in that situation. All righty. Also, we have flyers on that, and Margie Pomeroy in the back has some. They are beautiful. I can see them from here. So please take those. That's the best thing to do is leave that with somebody. They may not say yes right away, but at least they have all the information, and they can contact us to get enrolled for that. All righty. Let's begin this morning with our message portion. The title of today's message is, What Will Your Heart Be Adorned With? What will your heart be adorned with? We live in a world where a lot of things are going on. There's a lot of things that aren't right. And there's a lot of people that want to put movements together to make things different, whether they're political movements or charitable movements and these sort of things. Even in the church, that's very popular. But the fact of the matter is that there's really only one place in your life and in my life where we can really have a big impact. And that one place turns out to be our own heart. You see, we're going to see this morning that the Lord has given believers complete freedom concerning the choices that we make in our hearts. And that is the biggest impact that we can make. As a matter of fact, any other impact down the road or in this world will be a derivative of what's happening in our heart. And the Lord made that crystal clear in His Word again and again and again. And what we're going to see this morning is more of that. If you would at this time, if you'd please turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read much of this chapter today, beginning in verses 1 to 11. Colossians 3, 1 to 11. What will your heart be adorned with? It's something that only you and the Lord can work on. And it's where you're going to have the biggest impact in your life. You know, we started this series on practical Christianity, on wisdom. And soon thereafter, we started looking at some of the closest relationships in life. We looked at marriage. We looked at parents and children. And the fact of the matter is that those relationships can be totally revolutionized by simply changing what you clothe your heart with. And you can make that decision now. You can wake up today and say, you know what? From now on, I want my heart to be adorned with forgiveness. And with the power of the Lord and your believing in that's important, that will happen. You can be the most forgiving person in your family. You can. All you have to do is make up your mind, that's what you want. And it will happen. That's the freedom that we have as Christians. We're going to see this morning, and we've seen this, that the Christian way of life is the grace of God pouring things into our life, and then we, as the partner of the Lord, choosing to use the things that the Lord is pouring in our life. He's pouring love into your heart. We're going to see that passage this morning. The question is, are you going to adorn your heart with the clothing He's given you to put on? Are you actually going to live that way? Are you actually going to make up your mind that you want to be a person of love, a person of kindness, a person of forgiveness? And as a Christian, you've been freed up to do that because of what Christ did on the cross and what the Holy Spirit is in place to do in your heart. You've got freedom like no other person to make that decision and become that person. So we're going to see that this morning. Let's begin in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Colossians 3, 1. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, and you have if you're a believer, Colossians 3, 1, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. That's a command that you, with your freedom that the Lord has given you, can choose to do every day, to set your mind on the things above where Christ is. For you've died. This is the reality. We died at the cross with Christ. We died, and our life now is hidden with Christ in God. By the way, I've mentioned this, don't expect to be a human celebrity on earth. It's not going to happen. I mean, it might, but that's not the point of the Christian way of life. You know, we're a heavenly people. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our Lord, our King is in heaven, and our very life is in heaven. That means that the impact that we're registering ultimately is heavenly in nature. And so don't be shocked if you do this work that we're going to look at today on your heart and you don't get a parade for it. You're probably not going to get a parade for it. As a matter of fact, most people will probably still misunderstand you, even after all of that. Why? Because it's a heavenly thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's not an earthly thing. You know, too many Christians are trying to make an earthly impact. You know, if it's big and if a lot of people are there, or if we got some big names, you know, that's good. That's better. No, it's not better. What matters is the spiritual dimension. And so we need to train ourselves. That's why we have these commands. Keep seeking the things above, not the things on earth. For when Christ, who is your life, is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. That will happen someday. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to these things. That is a heart exercise, considering something dead. To immorality, to impurity, to passion, to evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Here's the challenge. Yes, we're born again in Christ. But the fact of the matter is that we were dead and then we were alive. We brought with us a lot of the old stuff, a lot of the old behavior, a lot of the old attitudes. And if we're not participating in the partnership with Christ, to renew our minds and to have our heart renewed and to put on the things that the Lord wants us to put on, by default, the other stuff will still be there in our lives. And our heart will be adorned with the wrong stuff, with this stuff. Don't believe the lie that Christians can't do all. They can do all these things in this list in verse 5. We can still be immoral. We can still be impure. We can still have the wrong kind of passion. That means emotion without thought. We can have evil desires, and we do, and we can have greed. All these things are still possibilities for our heart. The challenge, that's the freedom, and that's the challenge that we have in Christ. He says, consider your body dead to those. Verse 6, for it is because of these things, what things? Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. That's unbelievers. That, if you're a believer in Christ, that is not you. Even though you will find these things in your heart, You are not a son of or daughter of disobedience any longer. And in them, notice, you also once walked. In other words, your life was consumed with this way of living, with self-centeredness, with revenge, with anger, with bitterness, and these kind of things. But he said, that's when you were living in them. But now, notice verse 8 though, now put them all aside. Put them away. Literally, this word in the Greek means like clothing that you don't want to wear anymore. Put it somewhere where you're never going to have to look at it again. You know that feeling you get when the seasons change or you get a little, in my case, gain a little weight, or the styles and the fashions change and you got some clothes that they just, every time you look at them, it's just bad. For whatever reason, you know, bad memories, pain in the gut because you can't quite fit. So you want to find a place to put them away. That's what he's saying to do with this stuff. What stuff? Anger. Put it away somewhere. Now, here's the thing. The only reason you'd have to put it away is because it's there, right? If the Christian way of life, if it were true that the cross basically obliterated all this stuff, he would never have to tell us to put it away. He would have already put it away. What he did do is take it off us. At the cross, he took the old clothes off, the old behaviors. He says, you are no longer a slave to this stuff. I'm going to take them off you and then give you new clothes to put on. But the fact of the matter is that we get to choose what we wear. And like that old TV show, there are certain things that we're not supposed to wear. What not to wear? You know, what are we not to wear? Anger? Wrath? And these are heart things. Notice these aren't behaviors yet. The Lord knows it starts in the heart. And that's where he's talking to us now. He's saying, in your heart, put away those old, dirty, ragged clothes called anger and wrath and malice. By the way, malice is a desire to cause pain or injury or distress to another. Don't you be looking at me and all holy now. I never have that anymore in my heart. I never want to see anything bad happen to anybody. Well, who'd they do to you? But see, the Bible also says, do not lie. Right? Of course, we still have these temptations all the time because we're still human and we're still in these bodies of corruption. And again, I'm going to repeat myself. If we didn't have these things, he wouldn't have to tell us to put them away, now would he? He only has to tell us to put them away because they're still around as possibilities of clothing to put on our heart today. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. What is he saying? Put them away like old clothes that you don't want to wear anymore. Do not lie to one another. Since you laid aside the old man at the cross, now we had the clothing of the old man, his attitudes, his behavior, everything about us screamed, Adam, fallen man. And when we believed in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we were baptized into his death. We were placed into the death of Christ for the purpose of having these old clothes taken off. That's not who you are anymore. And so that's already happened. Now what we're told to do is basically keep them off, put them away. You laid aside the old man with his evil practices, his bad deeds, and you have put on the new man who is being renewed, notice this, to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. You see, one of the great things we can do to help this along, if you're saying to yourself this morning, we get that far and we notice that there's certain heart qualities, certain adornments of the heart, and you want them, and you don't, if you're being honest, you don't really have them that much. Well, there's a couple of things you can do. You can first have that desire. That's great in all by itself. All right, you can recognize that the Lord is pouring these things into you and make decisions to put these things on. But you know what else you can do? You can help and participate in having your thinking changed. And the way you do that is what you're doing right now. The way you do that is by hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God over and over and over again so that you begin to have your mind changed so you think about things in a different way. So your priorities start to line up more and more, that you really do give it a chance. For example, you know, if you were just walking out there in the world and you were never confronted by the Word of God, you may not recognize the amount of anger that you have. You may not recognize the number of times that you desire to cause pain, injury, or distress to somebody, because nobody ever calls you on it. Nobody ever puts a mirror up. And trust me, out there in the world, you're going to get people that are going to give you attaboys for that kind of behavior and attitude. That's right. That's what you can always get a group of people that can huddle around you and reinforce this stuff. You should be angry. We have whole political movements right now that are built on anger. Yes, let's be angry together all day. So the world is going to reinforce the bad stuff. It's God's word that's going to call you on it. And so that the more that you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and go to his word and say, I'm just going to open up to whatever it is I got to hear today. If it's about anger, I will consider that. If it's about worship, I will consider that. If it's about abusive speech, I will let that hit where it needs to hit in my heart. If I'm a person that uses my tongue in a bad way, right, I'm going to let the word of God confront me on that. Do not lie to one another. Since you laid aside the old man with his evil practices, and you've put on the new, who is being renewed to a true knowledge. True knowledge. That means from the word of God. That means, by the way, as a Christian, things that were never revealed since the dawn of time until after Jesus Christ went to heaven. And the Apostle Paul was told to write these things down, who you are in Christ. We've got a list of things in the back, 50 things that are about who you are in Jesus Christ. They all come from the New Testament letters. And it defines who you are. And I'm telling you, the more that you put yourself in front of those things and tell yourself that this is who I've become, the Christian way of life is acting like you've been made to be. You've already been made to be a son or a daughter of the living God. You're already in union with Jesus Christ. You're already an adopted son or daughter of God the Father. Those things have already been done. And now the challenge is to put those in practice in your life so that the way you live lines up with who you are. Not who you might be, but who you are. That's the miracle of being a Christian. When it says born again, that's not just a bumper sticker. That means that God has made all things about you new. And now it's a matter of learning what those things are, believing them to be true, and putting them on. He's already given you the new wardrobe and called you. You are my son of the living God. You are royalty. Now just would you please put on the heart clothing of royalty, which would be love and forgiveness and patience and kindness. Put those things on, my child. That's what God says. I've already made you to be that. Put them on every day of your life. That's the call here in Colossians 3. All right, so let's now, so as we've seen this morning in the beginning, in verses 5 to 9, we have the negative side of a practical Christianity. What are the things we're to put away? What are the things we're to stop doing? Notice that that comes first. that the work of the cross is this. The work of the cross is for the Lord to have had a strategic victory over this stuff, the sinful stuff, anger, and all of those things. And now he wants you and I to have tactical victories, meaning he wants us to take advantage of what he did in freeing us up at the cross. And he gives us the power through God, the Holy Spirit inside of us to stop doing those things. You have the power. You have no excuses now. You have the freedom in your heart. Every time you see anger rising up, you can say, you know what? I am no longer a slave to that anymore because Christ freed me from that. I'm going to make the decision to say, I want my heart to be adorned with the clothes of royalty that my Father's given me to wear. I don't want the old clothes of the slave anymore. And the old clothing on our heart of the slave are the other things that we just finished talking about. It's the slave that gets angry. It's the slave that has malice. It's the slave that has slander and abusive speech. That's slavery. You're a child of God now. And you have new clothing to wear in your heart. And we're going to see what that is now. The positive side, starting in verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, notice this is a command. This is not just saying, God's going to do this all for you. It's all taken care of. Put your life on cruise control. All right? No, he's saying, do this. Put on a heart of compassion. That tells us that we have a decision, a choice, a freedom to do this. If you have a relationship in your life that is going really badly now, that you're always fighting with somebody, that you have a lot of resentment and anger, and if truth be told, you actually do want to cause pain, injury, and distress to that person. You would never say it in as many words because it's not politically correct or a Christian thing to say. But when you're all by yourself, you see those things. And you wonder, what am I going to do about that? We don't wonder no more because you have the power from God to just say, stop. Whatever that thought is, whatever that emotion is, say, stop. And then go to the Word of God and say, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. Wait a minute, Christ died so I'd be freed up from this slavery. His Word tells me that when I live in that other stuff, it is going to lead to death. It might be the death of my relationship. It might be the death of my health. Do you realize that scientists are finding out more and more that the things that the Lord has freed us up with, when people hold on to those things, they make themselves sick, literally, physically? So there's going to be a form of death that comes when you have the freedom from Christ to put these things away and you don't. On the other hand, he's also given you new clothing to wear. You know how it is. If you're under temptation and all you keep doing is fighting the negative, fighting the negative, fighting the negative, or your whole life you're just going to be tempted to put the negative back in. But that's not the Christian way of life because the Lord has also given you the new things to wear. And trust me, when you start putting on the new clothing, okay, your desire for the old clothing is going to go away. This is the miracle of practical Christianity. When you actually take God at His word and say, you mean me, who's always been bitter and angry and lonely, I can put on a heart of compassion now? And that will actually change things? Yeah. That person that you're always bitter and angry with, when you start to put on a heart of compassion, or how about this, gratitude. When you stop thinking about the foolish, simple, little thing that has gotten you to in such trouble, whatever it might be, this or that, all right, and get some perspective from God's Word about all the reasons why you should be grateful for that person to even be in your life. And don't tell me you can't do that. Of course you can do that. But you have to intentionally do that. You can't sit around and, you know, contemplate your navel, hoping that, well, maybe if I just do that and sit under a nice tree, all of a sudden all these things will work out. No. Why? Because God's giving you a command to take care of it instead. He says, no, you put on that heart. The next time you're going to meet that person, get dressed correctly first. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, and find out what your heart should be wearing when you come with that person the next time. And put it on. Put on some compassion. Put it on. God's poured it into your life. Use it. Put on some kindness. Put on some humility. You know, humility is, I may be wrong. Yeah, a lot of us have a hard time with that one. I could be the one that's wrong. And I'm going to tell you something. Very often, the more strident and certain you are that you're right, you're probably wrong. You're probably wrong. If for no other reason, having that attitude is wrong. And it's only by at least giving humility an opportunity in your heart that you might discover something about the relationship that actually you caused. That actually they're not just these irrational, crazy people. That actually there's some real things that happen, and you're a part of the problem too. It's not just them. But you'll never see that if you don't allow the gift of humility as a piece of clothing to adorn your heart. And so forth. Gentleness. And patience. You know, now more than ever in this world that we're in now, even in Christian circles, these things are just not cool anymore. You know, it's not cool for a man to be gentle. When's the last time you had a blockbuster movie where the hero was just a gentle guy? You know, maybe Dustin Hoffman in The Graduate in 1968, whatever the heck that was. I don't know when that was. Right? Patience. Because, you know, patience doesn't make good press. You know? Once again today, this person didn't do anything. That's patience. Patience is having a long fuse before you blow up, basically. That's patience. Once again today, that person was kind. It doesn't make the headlines, you know? But, so it's not going to be cool. It's not going to be popular. You're going to be misunderstood, but, you know? And yet, so what? Because your life is hidden in heavenly places. You're not misunderstood in heaven. I'm going to tell you right now. You got angels applauding when you do this in your heart. Because the thing about it is they may be the only people who do. You know, because these things are heart issues for you. And it's only after a long time of living this way that people may start to recognize what's going on. And maybe not. But I'm going to tell you something else. When you do this, you're not going to need people's approval. Because it's going to be so great to realize that you've pulled this off and you've put on your heart something that the Lord was doing. Think about Jesus. Think about him on the cross, all right? Where he came to be the king of the Jews. And they decided that they wanted him crucified. And they went to the Roman authorities, the Gentiles, to get this man killed. When he was their king as well as God. And yet when he went to that cross, okay, one of the seven things he said was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he did that with human lips and a human heart. And I want you to think about that. What kind of power must have been his in his heart. What must his heart have been adorned with that day in order to be able to say that when he had been beaten, when he had been taken all his clothes off, when people were spitting at him and people were putting nails in his arms and his legs. And he was able to pull off, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so when we do the same thing, that's really what we're doing. We're saying, you know, I line my heart up with my King, my Lord, and my Savior, because that's how he is. Whether anybody recognizes it or not, I really don't care. All right. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beloved, beyond all these things, put on love. See, it's only in the Bible where we're told to put it on. You know, if the world's idea of love is weird. I mean, it just sort of happens somehow, you know. Random act of love, you know. That's not what God says. God says it's intentional. God says that you recognize that this is a virtue that the Lord has been pouring into your heart, and now you're going to put it on like you put on clothes. You know, can you honestly tell me that when you, well, I should be careful with this question, but when you put your clothing on in the morning, is it just random? Do you just walk around? And if you see a shirt, maybe your 12-year-old shirt, you put it on. Or no, of course not. Every day you say, well, this is what I want to wear today. And what the Lord's saying in Colossians 3 is you can do the same thing for your heart. Every day you can decide, am I going to wear anger today or am I going to wear compassion? You know, and that's a challenge because we don't want to see it that way. We would rather say, well, because I got treated right today, I'm going to love them. Or because I got treated wrong today, I'm going to be angry at them. We want to pretend that we have nothing to do with it. But the Bible says as Christians, in the freedom that has been bought by the blood of Christ, we've got everything to do with it. We can decide every day what our heart is going to wear. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. That's another one. That's another adornment of the heart, is gratitude. You know, this perhaps more than any other area is where we've gone astray. We tend to think that something has to go right and then I'll be grateful for it. Something that God has to give me something really great and I'll be grateful for that. But that's not at all the Christian virtue. The Christian virtue says, put on gratitude before you even think about your life. No matter what is going on, put on a heart of gratitude. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Because there are things that the Lord has blessed you with that you're never even going to recognize until you get that heart on. Until you have that heart of gratitude, you're not going to even realize that that's been there all along. The faithfulness of a wife. The blessing of people in your life. The fact that the things that you've got going on right, that people got going on wrong. And I know that this can work because, you know, the thing about it is that we've got Christians in other countries that got nothing compared to what we have. And you know what they do have, though? Many of them have this heart of gratitude. Why? Because has nothing to do with what you've been given. It only has to do with recognizing whose you are and who you are. All right. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Notice that now we're now on the positive side of the practical Christianity that we've been looking at. And I want you again notice it's first and foremost activity of the heart. We want to get on to the behavioral side. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. That's sort of something a lot of people want to know. And they, especially when they heard the subject of practical Christianity, like, oh great, now you're going to tell me what to do. Like as in, you know, like your list, to-do list for the day. You know, you have to, on Fridays, you got to go visit the sick. On Sundays, you got to do that. And then that's practical Christianity. It's remarkable, though, that especially for Christians, because we have this heavenly life, that the Lord doesn't do that hardly at all. There's very little in the New Testament letters about, you know, go do this, go do that. And a real lot about our hearts and how they need to be adorned and changed. Because God's smart. You know that, right? God's smart, really smart. Yeah, he is. And the thing about it is that he knows, okay, that if he can get your heart, he's got your life. If he can get your heart, the behavior will follow. And if you don't do it that way, you're going to be all messed up. Hey, look, I told you this before. The reason I'm in front of you preaching is because I've made every mistake in the book. You know that. That's why. I won't get into all the gory details today. But, you know, I realized the other day that I changed religions, changed politics. But one thing I have kept is my loyalty to the Boston Red Sox. But other than that, there's been a life with the Lord time and time and time again. What?
We can work on that.
Yeah, I can work on that. But time and time again, the Lord has had to do this in my life, which is, no, that's totally wrong. You have to do it this way, you know. And one of the things is that, and I'm still guilty of this, I will define what I'm supposed to be doing in a situation by what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, why am I not doing more of that? I'll look around at somebody else who is doing more of this, and I'll look at me, and I'm like, I'm not doing much of that. Why? And I'll start to try to do that. And it never works. I'm just miserable, and I'm self-centered, and no. So it's finally starting to dawn on me that, you know, John, if you had this kind of heart, you'd do that, right? If you had a heart of gratitude, then you would be more grateful. You would do more expressions of gratefulness. And it would just happen. You wouldn't have to have a to-do list. You wouldn't have to have positive thinking or training or go to a course on gratitude. It would just happen because when the Lord gets your heart, he gets everything else, you see? And that's why this is all about the heart. And it's interesting that it's more about the heart on the positive side of Christianity than negative. Like on the negative, you can tell us stop lying, stop cheating, stop committing adultery. But on the positive side, he works on our heart. He says, have these attitudes in you. Have this thinking in you. And that is the big focus of the New Testament letters, which, by the way, are directed directly to us as church, as heavenly people, as members of the body of Christ. We're learning about that on Thursday nights, aren't we? about how Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, was about Jesus Christ going to the Jews and offering them the kingdom. And a lot of the things that he said there, he said to Jews in the first century when they were away, and he was trying to bring the kingdom about. And now we're in a totally different, this big fancy word is dispensation, but we're in a totally different spiritual place now. Jesus is risen. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's placed the Spirit in us, and we have things revealed to us that were never revealed until after Christ was in heaven. And we ought to be excited about that. You know, let's be excited about who we are and live according to what the writings that are right to us in the epistles or the letters. I have to say letters too because I forgot. Somebody, we had a new person come in. I kept saying epistle, and she thought I was saying apostle. And so it's kind of confusing. But it's the letters. Anyway. Put on a heart. That's what we're told to do. Look at Colossians 3:16. Notice the heart here. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. What do I got to do, Pastor? I want to do something for the church. Give me something to do. Give me a list. All right? How am I supposed to change my life? Tell me what I'm supposed to do at 9 o'clock and 10 and 11 and 12. And that's not what the New Testament has for you. I'm sorry, I don't have that. You know, a lot of people are disappointed. They hear practical Christianity and they think they're going to get a to-do list or something. Or, you know, no. This is the work. Letting the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Now, come on. How many of us can honestly say that the word of Christ richly dwells within us? This is not to mean a put down, but it's to give you a sense of what's possible. You know, like that is like that. You know, like when you speak, the word of God comes out. I mean, that's what it means. And how do you do that? Well, by putting it in. It can't come out until it comes in. So it means by having a life where the word of God is an important part of your day. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, known as singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. It's not so much about what you're doing when you're worshiping. It's what's going on in your heart. What's going on in your heart? Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice giving thanks. That's a heart attitude, through him to God the Father. Again, notice how many of the commands in Colossians 3, the practical side of Christianity, have to do with the heart. With the heart, the inner man, the mind, our thinking. Let's take a look at some of these. Look at Colossians 3:2 once again. The Christian walk is first and foremost an activity of the heart. Set your mind on the things above. Right? Not your cable TV station, but your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Look at Colossians 3:8. But now you also put them all aside. Notice the things that we have to put aside first. Anger, that's in the heart. Wrath, that's in the heart. Malice, that's in the heart. All right? And then it does get to the behavior, slander and abusive speech. Okay, that's the negative side. By the way, all of the negative things come from the heart. Even the slander and the abuse and murder, as a matter of fact. The Lord told us that. If you wouldn't mind, please turn to the gospel. Hold your place in Colossians 3 because we're coming back. But could you go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 now. Matthew 15, 18. Notice what our Lord said about some really bad things that humans get involved in, like murder and adultery and fornication and stealing. Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. Gossip, maligning, but the things that proceed out of the mouth, right? Matthew 15, 18. This is the things that proceed out of the mouth, lying, insulting, all right? Gossip, slander. The things that proceed out of the mouth come from where? The heart. And these defile the man. It starts with the heart. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, starts in the heart, adulteries, starts in the heart, fornications, starts in the heart, thefts, start in the heart. I want that. I can't have it. That starts in the heart. False witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. I'm laughing because, and this is still true today in Christianity, people put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. I mean syllable. Yeah, they focus all their attention on these external things. People aren't doing right. They're not dressing the right way. When I used to be a Catholic, you have to know when to kneel at the right time and all this other stuff. Right? No. I mean, Jesus' day and age, it was eating with unwashed hands. It was rituals that were not being done right. That people were watching people for the ritual, and they were judging who was in with God and who wasn't based on the external behavior. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to understand that it's what's in the man's heart that defines the person, in the woman's heart. Because we can all put on a good show, can't we? Of course we can. Of course we can. I'm always amazed, and I'm in trouble now. That's okay, I don't care. I'm always amazed at couples that are having bad relationship in a marriage, and how when they're sort of appealing their case, one of them, you know, or they're in an environment where they feel like they need, their behavior is miraculously incredibly perfect, and they'll tell you about how great they are and how this and that, and then the subject comes to the spouse, and it's the person from hell. You know, then you have the other spouse coming in, and it's the same thing only in reverse. And you can't believe these two people live on the same planet, never mind the same house, right? Why? Because we are really capable of putting on a good show. We're really capable of spin, putting things in the best possible light, and all of that. But you know, we can't do that to ourselves in our own heart. You know, we can kid everybody, but at some point in time, we know what's going on in our own heart, and that's what the Lord says. That's what matters. So when we turn, okay, back to Colossians, and when we turn to the positive, Colossians will be in verse 12 when we get back there, Colossians 3, 12. When we turn to the positive commands here in Colossians 3, we're noticing that the heart is addressed almost exclusively, Colossians 3, 12. Colossians 3, 12. Put on a heart, notice, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. You know, forgiveness occurs in the heart. Here too, I think we get too worried about the external expression of it. You know, should I tell them I forgive them? Should I write them a card? Should I send them $100? You know, all that stuff. No, don't worry about that. Make sure that the change has happened in your heart. Make sure you forgive them, that you have a heart of forgiveness. The other stuff will follow. And if your heart hasn't changed, trust me, no matter what you do, it's not going to make up for the fact that your heart's still wrong with that person. You know, the same thing with love. Love is an adornment of the heart. Love is a decision that you put on. I'm going to put on a heart of love. By the way, this stuff is most important in our closest relationships in life. This is where we tend to, it's just like clothing. I mean, it's kind of funny when you think about it. God knows what he's talking about with the human race, you know. Where is it that we don't worry about what we're wearing, right? Isn't it in the home I'm going to put on? You should see me with some of the stuff I put on. I don't see how long it takes me to put on what I'm supposed to put on in the house, right? We don't worry too much about what we're wearing in front of the people that we love. But we probably should. I mean, that's probably wrong. It's just the way we slack off. Well, it's one thing if we slack off with our external wardrobe, but unfortunately we also slack off with the adornment of our heart towards those that are closest to us. And that's too bad. It's really bad. And so that's where we can have the biggest impact in life, by the way, is by making those conscious choices day after day to adorn our hearts for the ones that we love, the ones that are closest to us. You know, and because when things go bad with that relationship, whether it's best friend, whether it's wife, whether it's brother, whatever those things are, and the reverse, obviously, husband, sister. When things go bad, they go really bad. And it's really straightforward. Oh, that's not the wrong word. That's the wrong word. Who cares? But in other words, like when we're in that situation, we feel like we'll never be able to forgive them again. We'll never be able to love again. You know, there's just something, because it's such a deep thing and it's so important to us, we get really upset when things aren't going well. And that's why the Lord has to come back in our life and tell us, whoa, wait a minute. I don't care what's going on. You can choose right now to forgive them. Right now, like that. Okay? I am now going to put on a heart of forgiveness for her. I am now going to put on a heart of love for her. I am now going to put on a heart of respect for him. And I'm just going to do it. You know, I don't have to have a court order or make up a list or go through 18 rituals or anything like that. Boom. I've just decided. And that's what he's telling us to do here. And the reason we can do this is because there's a place in our lives where the Lord has given us complete freedom. And that's in our heart. You can make the choice. Nobody can stop you. Not even your flesh. You see, that's what used to stop us. You know that. You know, our old man used to always stop us and say, you don't want to do that. You don't want to be kind to her today. You know, you could lose out. And don't you have a lot of anger? And here, I'll give you a little more. Oof. But now that we have the Spirit warring against that garbage, we have freedom in our hearts. Every day we can wake up and go to Colossians 3 and say, I want to be that today. It's almost like a menu choice. I want to be kind today. That's what I want. And you can literally go out there and be the kindest person you meet all day long. That's kind of exciting, actually, to think that you can do that, and you can. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And then, of course, the Word of God is to dwell richly, but where? In our hearts. The Lord is concerned again and again and again here and throughout the New Testament letters about why you do what you do. Why are you doing what you're doing? What's going on in your heart? And also having a grateful heart when you do it. Try it for me today. Not for me, for the Lord. Just put on a grateful heart today. Just for whatever reason. Maybe because you're bored. I don't care what the reason. You say, you know what? I'm just going to be grateful today. You know, I'm just going to put that on. The thing that people are going to see in my heart first whenever I meet anybody today is gratitude for them. You know, and turn off the brain. The reason I say that is because the brain is the old man part of the brain anyway. I'm going to say, you kidding me? Not that one. You don't want to be grateful for them, man. They're going to walk all over you. And besides, you got that list of five things they got to do first before you even talk to them, remember? Your brain's real good at that chatter. No, everybody. This only works. This either works for everybody or don't work. Everybody, find a reason to be grateful. Something about them that you're thankful for. All right? And just have it in your heart. Don't get all messed up. Oh, I didn't say anything to that person. No, just have it in your heart. Grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And as soon as you stop, just say to yourself, you arrogant so-and-so. Why would you stop? Who are you? Seriously, who are you that you can't be grateful to somebody, to anybody? You're so important. You're so good. You're so holy. You've never done anything wrong. You can be grateful to anybody or anything, anytime. And that's what but the thing about it is, it's not just because I'm saying it or because you'll feel good, because this is the Lord's calling for your life. When he says, you know, when Jesus says, I want brothers and sisters and I want them to be conformed to my image, that's what he's talking about. Jesus had joy in his heart when he's at the cross. That's unbelievable. Why? Because he understood everything about what needed to happen in the human heart. That's why. Yeah. And we can too. That's the exciting part. We have the Holy Spirit inside just for this reason. So the Lord is looking for us to have grateful hearts. Look at verse 18. Notice where this goes, by the way. Once we see that the issue is putting off the old heart, putting on the new one, where does it go? When it finally gets practical, the way we think about it in everyday life, where does it go first? Verse 18. See where it goes? Yeah. Marriage. That's no accident, gang. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Lose what? See how important the heart is to the Lord, especially of Christians now. Yeah, it's where when he says he's transforming us into the image of Christ, you know, I've seen the pictures. I've seen Michelangelo painting Jesus. I don't look anything like him. Like, I'm looking less like the Jesus of the paintings every day. Okay? Gray hair and all that. So he is not transforming my body into the image and likeness of Jesus. He's not. What is he? Then therefore, what's he transforming? My heart. Yeah, your heart. That's what he's transforming into the image. No wonder he's so concerned about it. That's the whole work, the whole reason he didn't pull us up to heaven the moment we said, I believe in Christ, is because there's some transforming to do. And it's in the heart. It's really, I mean, that's why, look at it, it's all over the place. Gratitude and love and kindness and gentleness. And he says here, look, even in the relationships in the family, it's all heart things. Notice what he doesn't say in verse 18. He doesn't say, wives, cook every meal for your husbands. Does he? Now, I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't, but the Lord is after the heart. Wife, in your heart, be subject to your husband. In your heart, have that respect for him. That's what he's concerned with. Number 19, does he say to the husbands, husbands, no prenuptial agreements, and I want you to put up $5,000 a year for your wife to do whatever she wants with? Oh, I know the wives are excited. Yes, yes. Yeah, but my point is that he doesn't get that specific about the actions, does he? What is he interested in? The heart. Husbands, love your wives. Because he knows, if you actually do this, the other stuff will follow. That's why he's not worried about the externals. He knows if the heart is right, the other stuff will be there. And you don't have to be told and forced to do it either. By the way, you're not forced to do even the heart work here. We're in complete freedom. And that's a scary thing. Most people would rather, you know, most people would rather be under a legal situation where, you know, give me the 10 things I got to do, and then I'm done with God for the week. That's the way I used to be as a Catholic. I used to have the things I had to do. I had to go to Mass. I had to make sure I could go into the box to confess to the priest. I had to do this and that. And then, good, I was done with God. And I'd go do what I wanted. That's what we want, you know, in our flesh. But the fact of the matter is we have this thing called freedom in Christ. And so none of this is forced on us by God. It's all freedom. Why? Because he doesn't want robots. He wants sons and daughters. If you have a kid and they only do what you want when you force them to, what kind of relationship is that between a father and a son? When you got to hit them or take something away or bribe them to do anything. I don't know about you dads or parents. I don't consider that to be much of a relationship. Neither does God. No, he wants this to be freely done. He wants you to freely look at what Christ did and understand why and understand what the cross has bought for you and what he's done in you. And then when you freely jump in, you know, the Bible says that perfect, mature love casts out fear. And that tells you where he wants your heart headed. He wants you to less and less be on the fearful side of God and more on doing it out of love. I love the fact that he's given me freedom. I love the fact that my God is these things. I'm glad that my Father, in the face that he's turning to me, is a face of love and kindness and forgiveness and mercy. And I love it so much, I want to be that. Right? Like, you want to be like your hero. I want to be like Mike. That's what he's, Mikey, Mike, whatever. What was it? Michael Jordan. I want to be like Mike. Was it Mike? I forget. But you want to be like your heroes, right? Well, God's our hero. We want to be. Like him, not forced to be. But it comes with the heart. But again, it has to do even here. Look, the Lord does not specify specific external actions. He specifies heart attitudes. You know, that's, by the way, neither should we. You know, I think some of us have to get out of our vocabulary. If you really love me, you'd fill in the blank. No, don't say that. Just be grateful that they do. You know, it's a heart attitude. He doesn't specify actions. Because he knows, again, the heart attitude will lead to the right behavior. All right. And notice even, let's complete this section just so you can see it continues, even with these relationships between workers and their bosses. 22. Slaves in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, notice, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with what? Sincerity of heart. Right back to the heart. Fearing the Lord, whatever you do, do your work, what? Heartily. In the heart. All out in the heart. As for the Lord rather than for men. It's really profound, this everyday work that's going on in our hearts. And it goes on, remember, when the Word of God and the Holy Spirit team up with us. Let's not forget where we've been before, which is, this is still a partnership. Meaning, the Lord's there every step of the way. He's pouring these things into you. Talk about, you want to put on a heart of love today? Well, realize, first of all, that he's giving you the power to put away all the other stuff, the anger and the bitterness. Realize this also. In the book of Romans, it says that the Holy Spirit is pouring into our heart the love of God. He's pouring it in there. And then he's turning to us and say, put it on. I poured it in you. Now put it on. Use it. It's a partnership. The Word of God, God the Holy Spirit, has teamed up with us so that we get to put on these new virtues. It's wonderful. So I guess that really, as we close this morning, it's really kind of a simple question, which is, what will your heart be adorned with today? When you leave today, and you get back into whatever relationships you're going to get into today, what will your heart be wearing? Will it be wearing anger and bitterness and frustration? Or will it be wearing compassion and love and forgiveness and gratitude? You got freedom. You'll move. All right, let's close. Father, we thank you so much this morning. We ask you, Father, to help us through the Spirit and your Word to see and to realize the potential that is here for us, the freedom that Christ bought for us at the cross, to really adorn our heart with the things that you've given us that are the qualities that your children are to have. And we just thank you so much that we have the ability to do it. And we just thank you also that you have respected us as your children, that you have given us the space in order to work these things out. But help us, Father, as we turn to you, help us to see it. Help us, like Paul prayed for, help the eyes of our heart to be enlightened so that we'll know the greatness of this calling that you've put on us and the riches of our inheritance in Christ. And we ask this in Christ's name. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to have young Christians tomorrow night, even though I know it's Memorial Day. If you've got plans, then we understand. But we do want to get together again tomorrow night. We're going to continue to work on VBS. Also, look at the blog to come up on Wednesday. And on Thursday, we're going to have our Thursday Bible study, and we're once again on a regular schedule. It'll be Thursday, June 2nd. Please join us if you can. Hannah, you ready to close in song?
And now I'm strong. In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea.